Excited about the things they get excited, and we get excited about things they don't get excited about. So you can just start talking about the Lord and the presence of God, and that's message talk to us. You know, that's just normal talk whenever we talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost and predestination, you know, and knowing who we are from the foundation of the world. And you talk about that to somebody else, they'll think you're crazy. But we want to go right into the Word this morning. If you don't mind, go to St. John chapter 4, starting in verse 28. I want to, again, greet you for Brother Tony, and I know he sure does miss us being here this morning, and we miss him, and Sister Lisa, and everyone else that's not here. So, God bless every one of you. St. John chapter 4, verse 28, and I want to speak to you on a little thought of see for yourself and do His will. See for yourself and do His will. Starting in verse 28, the woman then wrapped the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him in the mean while the disciples prayed with him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. But both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that thereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.' So then the Samaritans were come unto him. They besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and want to thank you for this privilege to be here, Father. And Lord, Father, I acknowledge that if in myself, Lord, I'm just a man, Lord. But Lord, by your Holy Ghost, we have your word, Lord. We can speak your word, and your word is the victory, Father. And Lord God, as we speak your word this morning, I ask you, Lord, to set the captive free, heal the sick. Lord, refill they that have need of a refilling of the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. You are the chain-breaking God this morning, and we're looking to you, the source of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. It was a wonderful thing to see how the woman at the well had given testimony about what she had heard. And she was, out of her testimony of what she had seen God do in her life, she was able to use that testimony to reach somebody. And you know, that's a wonderful tool that we have as believers. One of the greatest blessings that you have is your testimony.
Amen.
You can talk about what you've heard. You can talk about what you've seen. And this was a little woman that whenever she had heard this truth, she told them there was many people that believed on the report that they heard. They heard the testimonies and they believed on that, but they wanted to go a step further than just hearing of what she said she heard. They went, you know, a lot of people heard in Brother Brennan's ministry, they heard of the ministry of the healings that took place, and we believed on those blessings. We believe on those testimonies. We hear of testimonies of our pastor, of our deacon, of our brother, our sister, so-and-so. They were healed of such-and-such. They were delivered of such-and-such. They received the Holy Ghost and such-and-such. And we can believe upon that report. But we need to go further than believing on their report. And we need to go to the source ourselves. And we hear ourselves. And we can say, I'm not going by he said, she said. I'm going by what I seen. I'm going by what I experienced. I know he's the same yesterday, never, forever, because he changed my life. Amen? I know he refills with the Holy Ghost because I've got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know he's a deliverer because I've been delivered. Because it's got to go to a personal experience where we can say, I know in whom I have believed. You know, we live in a world today of the media and things like that, and I'm not getting political at all, but I'm making a point. In the political, I can look at the video. I can watch the video of what President Trump would say. He'd say such and such. I seen it with my own eyes. I heard it with my own ears. But I would hear the source or the report that somebody would read. And I'd read the report. And I'd think, I seen the same thing. And this is not what he said. I'm taking it back to the source. And I'm saying, this is not right. And because I know it's not right, there's no credit to anything they have to say. Because when you find somebody lying about something, you can't believe anything that they say. And I'm here to tell you, we've heard a lot of things that what Brother Brennan said. We've heard a lot of things that the Word said. We've heard a lot of things that Brother so-and-so said. But we've got to go back to the source, ourselves, to the Word of God. And we've got to say, I know if this is true or not. Amen? You say, Brother Daniel, are you afraid you might run your ministry? I'm here to tell you, if the Word will run my ministry, it needs to be run. Amen? If the message can be ruined by proving it by the Word, it needs to be ruined. But we have to go back to the source because I'm here to tell you, when you're in the battleground, when you're sick, when you don't feel good, when you've got finances that you have need of, when you're going through a time and I need a move of God, you can't go by he said, she said. You got to say, I know in whom I have believed. I know that the Word says that by his stripes I am healed. I know the Word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
We know that when we're at the end of the day, and we know that the rapture is going to take place at any time, and we know there's going to be a wise virgin, there's going to be a foolish virgin. I know by the Word of God that there's oil for me. I know that I can have this oil because I am not depending on somebody else. I'm going by my own experience.
Amen.
You have to have your own experience in the Word. And I'm here to tell you, when you have your own experience in the Word, you are like a tree planted by the water. And you are drawing on the water and you're drawing strength on a daily basis.
Right.
And then when those winds blow toward you, it's blowing everybody away. But why not you? Because you're grounded in the Word.
Amen.
Because this is where we're grounded. But we've got to see for ourselves.
Yes.
I'm here to tell you, there's Word that's been sown. Some will fall on stony ground. Some will fall among thorns. And the cares of life will choke that life out of them. But once it falls in deep, fertile ground, I'm here to tell you, you can grow some fruit. Amen?
Yes.
But we've got to dig in the fruit. We've got to get in the Word. We've got to dig in the Word. I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to get in the Word.
Right.
I'm all for listening to tapes. Absolutely. I listen to them too. I read them. I do all that. But I'm here to tell you, you got to take it right back to the Word. And when you do that, you'll find out that's where your faith comes from. Faith comes by this Word. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Brennan was sitting right beside you. He was standing right here. He'd say, amen.
Amen.
That's what made him a prophet, is he never pointed to himself. He pointed back to the Word.
Amen.
Amen. The ministry, what was it for? It was to turn the faith of the heart, the hearts back to the faith of the fathers, and the fathers back to the children. It's where our faith, if that was the job, where's the faith? And I believe the job was taken care of. You know, could you imagine a person, my boy's my left, I need no water up here. Could you imagine one of the, my boys, they're probably going to laugh at me a little bit, but imagine a young man, he needs some gasoline in his car, he needs to go somewhere, he needs gas. He's got the possession power. And he's at the pump. And when you go to certain gas pumps, some of them you can lift up the pump, you stick it in the car, or you put your card in and you pay for it, you lift the pump out, you stick it in the car, and you hit unleaded, premium, or whatever you're going to listen to, and you wait for the numbers to change, and you start pumping gas. That's a normal operation. But you know, some of them old pumps, there's an extra step you got to do. You can sit there all day long, and you can put you've paid for it. You've got the possession power. You put the money in the pump, and you're waiting for the ability to pump gas. And you're sitting there, and you're holding the pump. I've paid for it. I need the oil. I need it. I'm sitting here. I'm trying to pump, and nothing happens. You know why? There's another step you got to do. But there's a little guy. Thank you, my brother. We'll dry. When you're sitting there and you're trying to say, I don't understand. I've paid the price. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Sorry about that. I ain't drunk enough water this week, I don't think. You're standing there and you're saying, there's got to be something wrong. There's got to be something wrong with the pump. There's got to be something wrong with this. And you've got a gas attendant inside there. And you think to yourself, because you've got so much pride, I am not going in there and asking him how to work this pump. I am not going inside there because I am not that dumb. I am not this. You can call whatever word it is. I am not going to ask for help. The whole time, you've got the possession power. The whole time, you've got the oil. The whole time, but you need help. And all you got to do is go ask him help. Say, hey, I've got the possession power. I've done everything I can do. I'm standing at the pump and I need the oil. I need it because I'm not going anywhere. I mean to tell you, if you don't have the oil, you're not going anywhere. But all you got to do is say, please help me. What can I do? Help me. And that's all you got to do, friend. I'm here to tell you, the storehouse is plumb full of oil this morning. And all you got to do is ask for help. All you got to do, and God has given you the possession power. God has given you everything. Whenever he died and he rose again, he's got the possession power. But you've got to be able to go through the process that God has for you to receive what he has for you. Right. We need that oil. Amen. Sometimes you might need healing and you could stand right there and say, I need the healing, but why am I not getting it? Why am I not getting it? It's because you're too prideful to ask for help. Sometimes you can be bound by something and you can't get over it. And you just, I want to be free, but I can't get over it. I want to be free, but you're too ashamed to ask for help. I'm here to tell you, just say, God, help me. Sometimes you got to ask the brother. Sometimes you got to ask the sister. Help me. I am going through something. And you'll find out that you could have been delivered a long time ago. All you got to do is reach out and ask for help. Anybody need help this morning? I know I do.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
I want to hit a couple of things and we'll go right back at it again. These believers heard the voice themselves. And we've heard how other people being healed, we've heard how they've been delivered, and we can rejoice over their victories. But when you really rejoice, it's whenever it's your own victory, whenever you know yourself what it is like to be delivered. The reason many people don't rejoice in the Lord is because they don't put the word in its right place. You can have the word and not have it in the right place. David, one time, he had the right idea. He said, you know what? Let's take the ark of the Lord and let's put it on a new cart. And we put this ark on the new cart. We're going to push this through here. And I'm here to tell you, if you read your Bible, they worship God. They played piano. They did everything that they had. They worked on piano with a harp or whatever they had. They played their music. They were worshiping God. They were doing all these things. They were rejoicing. They were in church. But the word was not in its place. And because it didn't, and because it was not in its right place, somebody lost their life. Uzziah, I believe his name was. He lost his life. There was the ark, was going through, and it looked like it was going to fall. And Uzziah reached up, put his hand, and pushed it up to keep it from falling. And it grieved David so much to see this. And then what they did, I want to show you something. What they did is they left that word, or the ark of the covenant, they put it in the house of Obadiah. I think I'm not a very good pronouncer, but that's how I pronounce it, Obadiah. And when they put the ark of the Lord in Obadiah, it says that, I'm going to just read it for you. David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obadiah the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obadiah the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obadiah and all his household. When David heard how the Lord blessed the house of Obadiah and all that pertained unto him because of the ark of God, they went and brought the ark of God into the city of David with gladness. I want you to think about this. Because the word was in Obadiah, Obadiah's house was blessed. Everything that he had was blessed. I'm here to tell you, if God will do that for Obadiah, what will he do for you?
Amen.
Whatever, he puts it in its right place. But you got to have the word in your right place. I'm telling you, the Lord, the last couple of times I preached, Lord, let me, and I tried to do it, and he pulled me right back to it. Brother Graham talks about one time the man kept preaching about Job sitting on the ash. He kept preaching over and over. And how many times are you going to preach this? Well, when everybody gets repentant, he said, then I'll move on. And that's the same way it is with this, friend. If we will put the word in its place, Brother Daniel could finally go to a new subject. We've got to put the word in its right place, because I'm here to tell you, we can be blessed. God wants to bless you. Could you imagine, fathers, mothers, that you have a blessing that you want to give your child, but you can't do it because he won't straighten up long enough? But I'm here to tell you, if you'll just straighten up, it's unlimited the blessings that I can give you. My kids are thinking, oh my. Well, I'm thinking spiritual, brothers and sisters. I'm really going to be good. What's that he got? God is an unlimited bank account. This one's very limited, unless what God wants to put in it. And he ain't told me nothing about giving you nothing, so there's that. God bless you for that. They're like, well, there went mine. But I'm here to tell you, God wants to bless us. God wants us to. But you've got to put the word in its place. And when your word is in its place, everybody was rejoicing when it comes to the house of God. David was dancing. He was shouting. He was making a fool of himself compared to the world. And his wife looked through the window and said, that's a crazy man. Yeah. If Sister Vicky said, Brother Daniel's crazy, I'm sorry. I'm crazy because I'm in the Lord. Amen. Yeah. If Sister Catherine or whoever, Sister Mary, I just see Brother Richard just bust a cut a rug any moment. Just give him some space. I'm going to tell you, when the word comes on you and the anointing comes on you, friend, it will make you do things you wouldn't normally do.
Right.
It'll make you overcome in ways you never could overcome. I'm here to tell you, God is still a chain-breaking God. God is still a supernatural God. God is still a God that'll meet needs. God is still a God that's here with us this morning.
Amen.
And I can't wait to get into the service. My goodness. The ark is meant to be carried. It's not meant to be put on a cart. And they believed that they were blessed because they had the word. But whenever we have the word in its place, that's when it really happens. But what happened is, what I'm trying to say is, they believed they were blessed when they had it on the card because they had the word. But just having the word is not making you blessed. It's got to be in its place.
Right.
It's got to be. Friends, you can't just say, I know the message. You got to know the message. You can't know about the message, talk about the message. I'm here to tell you, when you know Jesus Christ and the man I'm talking about, and if you know the way I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
It sounds a lot like that I would not. That's why somebody on the street like, this guy's crazy. But you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah. When you know the message, you know the message. If you don't know the message, you don't know the message.
Right.
But you've got to know it in this way that I'm talking about. Because I'm here to tell you, y'all think you can do something this afternoon. I can see it already. This is something Brother Brennan said. Now, David knew better than that. Nathan was in the land that day. He's talking about the car. David knew better than that. Nathan was in the land in that day. He wasn't even consulted at all, see? He consulted captains of hundreds and thousands. All the people shouted and screamed and danced. And they all had religious motion. But it wasn't in line and order of God's word. And it failed. Anything else that's not in line and order of God's word will fail. Only God's word will stand forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not. He didn't consult the Lord. And I'm here to tell you, friends, too many times people are doing too many things without consulting the Lord. And we're not talking about small things. We're talking about the big things.
Right.
My wife and I, we were first married, I think it's very important that we try to keep that old fire that we had. Don't ever let that love turn cold.
You don't necessarily turn cold, it just comes lukewarm. You know, where you still love each other, but you don't have that fire like you should. And I'm telling you, hey, my wife and I, before we'd leave, every time we'd get in our vehicle, before we'd back out of the driveway, we would stop, we would join hands, and we would pray. And we'd say, Father, I know we're in a hurry, but God, I ask you to bless this trip. Help us as we're going, Lord. Help us to be able to be in your presence today. Help us to slow down. And I'm here to tell you something. I'm going to tell Brother Daniel, I've seen a lot more God moving when I would pray more. But what happens when we get older and we get common? It can become common to you. Well, I'm just going to the grocery store. I'm just going to the fishing hole real quick. I'll pray on the way. But whenever you would slow down and pray and say, Lord, I need help today. I need your anointing today. Because what the devil's trying real hard to do, friend, is to begin us when you are calloused to the presence of the Lord. You know what calloused is? If you take someone that worked with carpet a lot, and they're dealing with carpet a lot, they'll move that carpet continuously. You know what will happen? They'll develop a callus on their fingers. And when they callus that finger, you can't feel it no more. You can take something and rub it, and you won't even feel it. And that's exactly what the devil wants to do. He wants to callus you to the presence of God. He wants to callus you to where you're unsensitive to the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is, the Holy Spirit is grieved so much today. And everywhere you go, it becomes a callus. To where when you go somewhere and you see nakedness over here, you go somewhere and you hear rock and roll over here, you go somewhere and you see a homosexual over here, you go somewhere and you got this, and it becomes callous to you. And actually, eventually what the devil wants to try to do is say, it's normal. It's just normal. You have to deal with that. Me and Malachi were talking away here. We're talking about our trip to Colorado. Brothers, we were talking about it last year. Like the day we were leaving, we were talking about Colorado this year, right, brother? Malachi and I were talking on the way to work this morning, or on the way to church this morning, and he said, I can't wait. He said, but you know what? I think he likes a little bit about Florida. I said, I'll be honest with you, son. I hate Florida. I literally do. I hate Florida. Now, if you can take just a moment where you're just sitting, just you, and you've got the sand, and you've got your feet in the sand, and you can look at the water, I love that right there. But I'm going to tell you why I hate Florida. I deal with it on a daily basis of going around, and you've got women that can't wear clothes enough, and you have to continually turn your head nonstop, look straight up. That's here. And you go there, it is 10 times worse.
Right.
No matter where you look at, you can be sitting there just trying to have just a thought about something, and next thing you know, because you're not paying attention, you kind of come to yourself, you're like, you're staring at it. I was not staring at you. I'm sorry. I can't stand Florida. I hate Florida. Brother Brown hated Florida too. I agree with him. But I love Colorado. And you know what I love about Colorado? When you go out there, the only naked thing you're going to see out there is a trout. And I'm fixing to catch him. I love being in nature. I love being able to go where you can shut off the world. You can shut off the things of this. You can relax. Because you know what? I'm going to show you something. Whenever you're in this world and you're fighting the battles, the day-to-day battles, sisters having to battle. I couldn't imagine being a sister. Couldn't imagine the battles they fight. Having to deal with the hair, the Hollywood, the stuff on your face, the shoes, the high heels, all the battles that they fight. Brothers don't have to fight those things. At least they shouldn't. But a sister's got a different kind of battle. And I'm here to tell you, we've got battles that we can fight in this life on the day-to-day basis of going to school and doing the different things you do. And it can, like Brother Tony said, it can make you begin to forget who you are. Mm-hmm. It can make you doubt your experience. It can make you doubt who you are, doubt, do I got the Holy Ghost? Do I have this? Do I have this? But whenever you can go to Florida, and I'm going to go to Colorado. I'm going to use Colorado as my example. When you can go to Colorado and you can get away from all of that stuff, and you're away from all the influences. You're away from everything. And you're in the woods and you're sitting at the stream. And all you got is you and that stream. Your thoughts will automatically go right back to the Word. Your thoughts will automatically go to, I love God. I love this presence. I love the presence of the Lord. Right. I love this. I love it so much. You know why you do that? It's because that's truly who you are. But you have to shut off all that stuff. Because if you don't shut off the
the Hollywood, if you don't shut off the things, if you don't shut off the friends with the worldliness, I'm here to tell you, they'll drag you right back into it every single time. But you got to cut ties. And when you cut those ties to the world, it's a lonely walk sometimes. I'm here to tell you, I'm 37 years old. Asked my children last night, how many times do you ever see someone come knock on my door and say, hey, let's just hang out? You don't. I'm not saying people have to be like me. I'm here to tell you, it's because I don't do those things. How many knows what I'm talking about?
Right.
You don't do those things. But the devil will make you feel alone. He'll make you feel like you're all by yourself. He'll make you feel like if you do those things, you will be weird. You'll be that. Yeah, you will be weird. If you ask a lot of people, they'll say, Daniel's weird. But I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You'll be alone. Sometimes you will be alone, but you won't always be alone. But you've got to cut those ties. Because when you cut off that worldliness, when you cut off those things, when I gave my heart to the Lord, I knew I've got to make a decision. Do I want to come the easy way or do I want to come the hard way?
Right.
And I want to come easy because God's not going to lose you. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to lose you. That's what I'm saying. You can't destroy the gold, but you can sure put it under fire. And it'll purify, it'll boil up all that trash out of it. I'm going to come easy. I want less fire possible. I'm a wimp. Lord, I want to go the easy way. I don't want to try to be tough. I'm weak. Lord, I'm weak. I'm purified. But some people won't be tough. You want to try to do it your way. I'm here to tell you, when you're one of God's children, He is not going to lose you. But listen to what I'm saying. You come the easy way, you come the hard way. But either way, you're coming. That right? We've got sons and daughters that are not in this house this morning. Some of them because they're sick, but some of them because they're sick of sin. They're sick in sin. I'm here to tell you, they're still coming. This will come the hard way. And if you hear this today, or you hear it years from the road, I'm here to tell you, Brother Dennis, tell you, you might try to run all you want to, but you're still one of God's. If I had a leaf coming out of me, if I was a rose bush, all of a sudden, I'm going to have symptoms of a rose bush coming out of me, and I can try to cut them off all I want to. I can cover them up. I can have the leaves of a rose bush coming out of me. I can cover it. I can do everything I want to. But you know what? I'm still a rose bush, and it will keep coming. And you want to see how strong a rose bush can get? You ever seen what grass can do? You could put a concrete sidewalk on top of that grass. And that concrete on top of there, and it looked like it's impossible. Satan has got the worst of the worst on top of our son, of our daughter, of my brother, of my mother, of my sister. There's no way they're going to be able to get out of there in bondage. They have no desire to serve God. They have no desire to do anything for Him. And they're under the cement block. It's impossible. They'll never make it. That's what the devil wants you to believe. But there's something inside the blade of that grass that God put inside of it, and it's a struggle to live. And though that concrete is on top of that grass, it will push. That sun will keep glaring down. It'll glare all the way around that center block. It looks absolutely impossible. And that blade of grass will keep fighting. It will keep fighting. It will keep fighting. And if it has to bust that concrete, it will. And it'll come right through the blades. I'm here to tell you, we can try to run from God and say, I ain't done it. Or you can say, well, Daniel, I'm trying to overcome. I'm trying. I want to be. It's not you that's going to do it. It's something inside that grass. There's something inside him that says, I'm going to live. I'm here to tell you, when you've got the life of God on the inside of you, it may look impossible to you right now that I'll ever become what I'm supposed to be. But if you'll stay in the presence of that light, you can come the easy way or come the hard way. That's what I'm talking about. You can try to come. It's real easy for a person to not appear to resist, but they're resisting. You ever talk to somebody, and you can talk to somebody, and I talk to people at work, customers all the time, you can tell they ain't listen to a word I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, talking about the Lord. Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, they ain't listen to a word I'm saying, I'm going to preach it anyway. Give the word to him. A person can try with their flesh and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to serve the Lord. I'm going to have the appearance of it. But there's going to be something on the inside that's going to come out. And when that right there comes out, friends, that's what's going to make the difference. David wanted to build the house of the Lord. David had a desire to.
David had the, but the, and you know, if you really want an awesome story, I'm going to show you something. You don't have to go to Hollywood for awesome stories. That's garbage. You want to look at real awesome stories, and if you want the horror stories, look at David. You imagine crossing this guy? If you look at the scriptures, they took axes to people. They were laid on the ground. They took axes to them. You talk about brutal. You look at Hollywood? They say David was a man of blood. You better believe he was. This was a man that was, he wouldn't just exterminate him. I mean, he was brutal. But this man, David, had a desire to build the house of the Lord. He said, I want to build this house of the Lord. And I want to say it this way. I want to live this message. I want to live this message. I want to have it where I'm doing it right. David wanted to do that. But David couldn't do it. Because David was a man of war. David was a man of blood. David was a man. He went to the prophet. Think of it. In his flesh, or your flesh, man. He went to the prophet. He said, can I build a house of the Lord? He said, you do all that's in your heart. And the Lord visited the prophet. He said, you tell David he shall not build the house of the Lord. See, the prophet's just a man. The man can give you the best intention, but he's just a man. It takes God. God is the leader of this thing. Not Brother Brown. That's right. He said, you go tell him he shall not build one. But this will come one from his loins. He will build the temple. He will do this. And I'll give him rest of all of his enemies. I will give him rest. And David used the ability of his flesh. David got all the lumber ready. David got all the steel ready. David got all the things ready. What was David doing? David was getting everything ready for the building of the temple. I'm here to tell you, this flesh man right here, it can't live the message, but it can make everything ready. You put this thing in subjection, this flesh man, you put it in subjection, you put everything in its place. That way when the Holy Ghost is ready to use, because his son comes from his loins, it's a life that's inside David. David, you can't build this temple, but there's a life inside you that will build the temple. And I'm going to give that life rest. How many of you need rest this morning? Jesus said, come to me, all you that are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Where you can have a rest and experience. There is nothing like a peaceful rest, not sleep, when you know I am okay with my Lord.
That's right.
Whenever you can lay in bed, all the children are safe, all the children are home, the bills are paid, there's food that was on the table, we already ate it, but we got shoes on our feet. All of our needs are met. I'm okay with my Lord. There's nothing like a good night rest. But you take someone that's got sin hidden in their heart. You take someone that's got something that they know is there, and it shouldn't be. And sometimes it's something you want rid of. Sometimes it's something you don't want to get rid of. You just want to keep hanging on to it. You won't sleep. You'll have all kinds of problems. You'll think you're having a heart attack. You'll think you're having this. You'll think you're having an anxiety attack. Brother Brennan, how many times in the prayer meetings he'd go through? Brother Brennan was, for someone that don't know, Brother Brennan and it was not Brother Brennan, it was the Holy Spirit, the angel of the Lord, would discern the heart of the people and say, and see what was wrong with the person. How many times did they come through there? He says, I can see you're battling a nerve condition. I can see you're going through something and you're stressed, you're going to the doctor, you're going through this, but sister, really, I see. And sometimes he would say, I see, sister, that you did such and such with your husband, or to a man that was not your husband. This is what's wrong. It was a hidden sin down in her life. And because of that hidden sin, that anxiety could stay right there and haunt her whole life. Sometimes that nervous condition, he'd say, I can see, sister, you're a little bitty girl, you're walking through, and there's a dog chasing you, and that dog is running after you. A lot of times what I'm trying to say, friends, a lot of the battles that we fight is because something that happened a long time ago, and we left it there. And a lot of times when you've done something wrong,
It makes you in the flesh man want to say, well, I'll just repent to God. And I'll say, God, forgive me. But sometimes that's not enough. There's sometimes you need to go to that person and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. And a lot of times, because you hold that inside your heart against that brother, against that sister, and because you won't go to them and say you're sorry, you will battle all kinds of problems in your life, and you'll never overcome them. But you know what? There's a lot of times you're making that person struggle also.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for repenting to the Lord. Absolutely, 100%. But I'm here to tell you, a lot of times you need to go to that person. If that's still bothering you after you bring it to the Lord, you go to that person and go in humility and say, I want to talk to you, my brother, my sister. This is bothering me. And I need victory over this thing. Mm-hmm. And many times you'll find out that brother or that sister said, come here. I did not even know you were struggling with this. Of course I'll pray with you. Absolutely. I want you to be free. They'll put their hands on there and pray for you, and you'll both be set free just like that. But you see what just happened? That devil will make you think they're going to be so mad at you when you tell them. They're going to be so upset with you. They'll chew you out. They'll chew you and spit you out. But most of the times, that brother, that sister wants you to be free. I want to ask you, is there anybody you can think of that you would not want to be free? If you say, Brother Daniel, actually, we need to have a meeting right up here. But we're going to talk about the souls that were crying from under the altar. Lord, how long will you avenge these? That was not for us. Whenever you have the grace of God in your heart, you want everyone to be free. And that's the thing about this. You, when you're made free, friends, you're free to go out them doors to live any way you want to. You can go out and drink all the beer you want to, drink all the alcohol you want to, live all the adultery you want to. But I'm here to tell you, if you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside, you won't want to do those things.
That's right.
It'll change your nature.
Amen.
It will change your hunger. Brother Bim talked about how I can go to you. Let me go to your office for just a few minutes. I'll tell you if you got the Holy Ghost or not. What are you feeding on? What kind of pinups do you have up? What kind of things do you have around here? I'm here to tell you, when you got the Holy Ghost, you will feed on this message. You say, Brother Daniel, I'll feed on that. Absolutely, you will. You know why? Because it is the last day's message. Because if you were feeding on yesterday's message, on Luther's message, or Wesley's message, you're listening to that, you wouldn't be satisfied. You would be constantly be hungry. If that weren't the case, you wouldn't even need the message. God brought the message of the hour because this message is what gives you the maturing faith that you need. But you've got to be feeding on it. You've got to be eating on this message. You've got to be receiving the anointing. Brother Graham said, you stay with the tapes. Don't give me your interpretations. Don't give me the he said, she said. You go yourself and you dig in the message. And you say, Lord, and when you go, don't do it like flipping a newspaper. Don't open your Bible and flipping a newspaper. Listen, I'm talking to you about how to be a real strong Christian this morning.
All right.
This is how you do it. When you go to take your Bible and you take the message, don't do it unreverently, but when you do it, acknowledge what you're fixing to listen to. Imagine in the time of Eisenhower, whenever he was fixing to go on the radio, they'd say, everyone, shh, everyone be quiet. Shh, shh. They'd have the radio. Everyone quiet, 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 quiet. He's fixing to speak. The whole house would silence. Why? Because an important voice was fixing to speak. If they would do that for him, how much more reverent should we be for the Word of God? I'm going to tell you, when you come to church, friends, if you go to a courtroom, would you sit there slumped down like this right here? Or would you dress up appropriately? And when you come to the house of God, you'd sit straight. You know why you do that? Will this chair move? I don't want your task. I'm going to move. I'll try to get here where they can send me on the media. Maybe too. You're going to sit there like this. I'm going to see what this old judge got to say. I'll tell you what he's going to say. You're going to go to prison. You can go to jail. But you can take the worst gangster with all the tattoos in his arms, all kinds of different things, and you watch and see if he's got any common sense at all about him. He'll wear a nice shirt, buttoned up. He'll come up to church or go to before the judge. Yes, sir, honor. Yes, sir, honor. Sit straight up, acknowledge, and pay attention to everything that's being said. You know why he's saying that? Because he acknowledges
the man that's standing behind that desk, the judge behind that desk, can sentence me to the prison for the rest of my life. And I'm not talking about the preacher, brother and sister. I'm talking about God.
Amen.
When we come to the house of God, I'm here to tell you we should come with reverence before the Lord. We should come whenever you're sitting in there. I believe we should wear our best when you come to the Lord. Why? Because you are going into the presence of a God that created the heavens and the earth. If you can show reverence toward a judge that can send you to a prison on earth, how much more reverence should you have when you come into the presence of a God that can bring you all the way to glory or send you straight to hell? How much more reverence should we have? But you know what's happened? Satan tries so hard to make you callous to the Lord.
Right.
To where it's just it's just another service. It's just this, it's just that. Brother Brennan, I'm telling you, in the Church Age book, I have to find the quote to show you, but I know he said it. He talked about how that there was a priest that rejected the Holy Ghost one time. The Holy Ghost was going to come to that man and he rejected it. Did you realize that God is not obligated to ever give him another opportunity after that? What if this is the service that will be your last opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost? Oh, the Holy Ghost will be here continually every service as long as I'm here anyway, because I've got the Holy Ghost. How about you? Amen. I don't say that arrogantly. The Holy Ghost will constantly be there, but there will come a point where there will be a line.
Amen.
And people will cross that line. They're rejected. They're rejected. They're rejected. And even though the Holy Ghost is here, that has no effect upon them. That's the world we live in today.
Yes, amen.
I can preach this exact same message I'm preaching to you right now, and to you it speaks to your heart. To somebody out there, it doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Why? There's a life inside you. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to be a mature Christian, you don't have to be to take this rapture of Holy Ghost.
Right.
But you want to be a mature Christian, this is where it's at. It's whenever you learn, I have got to respect God.
Amen.
I've got to respect His presence. And when you go to take your Bible and you read your Bible, you acknowledge and say, God, I do not want to open this lightly. I want to respect this book. I want to respect this message. I want this word to speak to me. I want to be able to read these words and it be like coals of fire inside my heart. To where when I walk, I am thinking on what I have read. I want the message that this preacher preaches behind this desk to be like a coal of fire. When it drops into my heart during my week, I am meditating on what I have heard. I'm thinking about what I have heard. Why? Because that's God's provided way for you. God has a provided way of worship. God has a provided way of overcoming, but you have got to come that provided way. You can stand there at that pump all day long and sit there and say, I've already paid for it. I put my money in the deal. I've done everything. I'm not flipping that other button. I'm not doing it that way. I'm doing it my way. I want the Holy Ghost, but I'm doing it my way. I want joy in the Lord, but I'm doing it my way. I want this. I'm doing it my way. You'll stand there all day long too, and you won't get nothing.
Right.
But you've got to come God's way.
Amen.
And God ain't making it hard. You flip a switch. That's all you've got to do. Flip the switch. How many of you want to be free? But then I want to be free. I want the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I want victory.
Yes.
I want to know God in the way you're telling me about it. I want to bulldoze faith. You know what a bulldoze faith is? I love Brother Brown. He talked about the man that, I think it was the message Standing in the Gap. I think that's the message I'm thinking of, to where it was. Brother Brown was talking about how this guy was going to do a sneeze. And this guy was, are you serious? He said, that's not a sneeze. He said, but then he was sitting in the cafe and there was this big burly man. He thought, yeah, that's me. That's me. That's who I am. Big burly guy, beard, scruffy, going through there, walking through there, and he had about a sneeze. And he went, ka-chooer. He said, that's right. That's a man's sneeze. Well, I'm talking about a man's faith. I'm not talking about a faith that's the first little big trial that comes and you quit. The first trial comes across our lives, the cares of life have choked the life out of me, I may as well quit. I'm going to start serving the Lord. All right, I'm going to make the changes. The first little trials. All right, I'm done. No, we're like the tree planted by the water. That's right. But you've got to be planted by the water. You can't just say it. You got to do it.
Amen.
You got to see this and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Whenever you will take this faith, take this word, you're like a bulldoze faith. I've had the liberty of getting to use a bulldozer. And it is gratifying. There's nothing like it. You can have a little bitty skid steer and you're operating that thing and you're moving up and there'll be a little tree up there. If it's a small tree, you can, and you hit it and you hit it and you hit it, and sometimes you'll get lucky and you'll push it over. You're limited. But you get a bulldozer. You're operating with your feet and you're going through there and you see a tree going there. Real noisy, smokes, loud. That it don't matter how big the tree. You just keep going. That's the kind of faith we need.
Right.
No matter what trial we got, we might make a lot of noise, we might smoke, it's ugly, it's rusty, it's got all kinds of things, there ain't nothing good about it from the side of the world. But you take a man and get in that bulldozer. He knows there's a rock right there and that thing's got to be moved.
Yes.
And I need the right tool to do it. My old John Deere lawnmower is not enough. The skid steer is not enough. I need a bulldozer. I'm going to tell you, there's a bulldozer here this morning. When you're tilling a garden and you're doing a garden, there's nothing more gratifying than using a front-tine tiller. You're using a front-tine tiller. How many knows what I'm talking about, a front-tine tiller?
Yeah.
My kids are pretty luxurious because they've always had the rear-tine for the most part. I think y'all might have done it a little bit. The rear one, when it's a rear-tine tiller, you've got the tires on the back and you hit a small bump and you just kind of ride it and let it do its thing. When you've got a front-tine tiller, you can be going through that thing. All of a sudden, that thing will be going just like this. It'll jaw your teeth out of your head because that thing is it's not made for comfort. It is the most ungratifying thing in the world is using a front-tine tiller. I absolutely hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had big gardens. We didn't do these little puny gardens like you see today. It was a big garden. But what would happen when you're using that front-tine tiller? You want to be comfortable. We as people like to be comfortable. We'd be using this front-tine tiller, and you'd hit that big rock. You know what we have a tendency to do? Go around the rock. And you'll just keep doing it. And you'll do that year after year after year after year after year. And then 20 years later, guess what? If you see the roads, you'll see we're living around the rock. But there's a time, friends, you've got to stop going around the rock. There's a time we say this rock has got to move. This rock is stealing me and robbing me of my blessings.
That's right.
This rock, where this rock is at, it's taking my victories. I want my blessings. I want my victory. But you know what? You got it. You know what your rock is if you've got one. You say, but Daniel, I know what you're talking about. I've been avoiding this rock for a long time. Jesus talked to the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler came to him. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, you know the commandments. Love thy father, thy mother. Keep the commandments. He said, I've done all this from my youth. But what must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive eternal life? He said, there's one thing that thou lackest. He'll sell, and he realized this man held on to money. He said, one thing thou lackest. It's not all the things you're doing right. It's the one thing you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and his was money. He said, you go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And it grieved the man that he walked away. Now, Brother Graham emphasized, if you really want to dig a message, look at this. He says, a lot of times that's not real finances. A lot of times it's something that you're not willing to lay down. It could be an idol. It could be something in your home. It could be a creed. It could be all these things. And in this case this morning, it's the rock. It's the rock that you've been avoiding your whole life. The preacher will preach at it. He'll speak to you, and you know without a doubt he's speaking to your heart. But you avoid it. And you'll go around it. And then you'll praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Just like having that Ark of the Covenant on the cart, you'll praise the Lord. You'll worship the Lord. You'll have all this big, oh, praise God, we were in service. But the whole time, you never did what you were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You got to move the rock. You got to hit it face on. You finally got to come to the point and say, I am getting rid of this thing. This thing is no longer going to affect my life. This thing is no longer going to hold a bondage over me. This thing is no longer going to take me from my victory. This morning, I'm getting victory. This morning, I'm going to be set free. This morning, I'm getting that refilling of the Holy Ghost I've been needing. Amen?
Amen.
But you've got to move the rock. But you can't go necessarily and say, well, preacher, I want you to, you do the praying. No, you did the sinning, you do the praying.
Right.
Is that right? You do the praying. A lot of times you want dad to do the praying, or mom to do the praying, or pastor to do the praying, deacon to do the praying. No, you do the praying. You sing yourself, and you move in the will of the Lord. I'm going to show you a quote, Brother Brown. But the rich young fellow, the teenager of his day, had probably inherited a lot of money, which that's all right. There's nothing against that. And I'll be thankful for any man or anybody that's been given that privilege. But what I have against the fellow is this. Being a man of business, and did you notice he asked for eternal life? That was his business proposition. What must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him exactly what to do. But he wasn't interested because of the thing that he had to do to have eternal life. And now we look on that, we Pentecostal people, that thing that man was out of his mind not to do the thing. But let's take it down home for a few minutes, see? There was something that went with it. He was asked about the commandments. He said, oh, I've done this since my youth. Probably raised in a good Orthodox home where they was raised up not to steal or lie or cheat or commit adultery. Maybe the boy wasn't a cheater. The boy wasn't a liar. Had been raised with good parents, somebody that had taught him there was a God and that God would bring him to judgment someday. And he'd have to give an account for all that he did. And that teaching of his parent maybe had stuck with him, and he knew that there was a God. But now it comes a time where he's got to personally meet this God. He's got to meet this person. And he was asked, what could he do to have eternal life? And Jesus told him what to do, but he was not interested in that kind of investment because it took away the things that he held so dear. Well, you say that man had money, it was taken from him because the money, rather, Jesus was taken because that was his earthly possessions. But it don't altogether mean money. There's just a lot more things that we hold to us as much as an idol as that young man held to that money. Popularity, denominational difference, fashions, lust of the world, idols, everything. There are so many things that men today, instead of being rich, holding to the things of money, they hold to different things like that just as tight as that young man because they're not interested in the investment that Christ is offering them. It might mean that Christ would call you out of the group that you're in. Christ might call you out from the card party that you have in your church, the bunco games, the society that you belong to. And if you hold to that, you're as much making a rational mistake as this rich young man did, see? You're holding to something more of a treasure than the investing your life's journey in Jesus Christ. Now, this may not have a shouting background to it, but it's got a gospel background to it, the Word. It's the thing. The children laugh, they dance, they rejoice, and so forth, but you've got to know what you're doing this about. If you don't, that becomes idolatry to you. just becomes idle. And if we look and notice at the conditions that we're winding into, it comes so sneaky. Just like a man, a tree standing on a highway, a little vine rises up, a wild vine, and begins to wrap around that tree. The tree wants to grow straight. That vine finally gets a hold of that tree in such a way until it's forced to move the other way. So do we get in those kinds of places where we let other things slip into us and wind us from the real sincerity in the word. Now, Israel was very sincere in what they did at the beginning. While I can imagine a Jew coming down the road with a slick sacrifice, the best he's got in his herd, going down to the sacrifice, puts his hand upon the animal, identifies himself with the animal by placing his hand upon the animal, and then the blood is shed, and that Jew goes back home just as happy as he could be because he knew he had done Jehovah's bidding. That was fine for a long time. Then after a while, that same thing became a family tradition. There was the same kind of animal, but someone perhaps say, you know, this is a new moon. Perhaps say, yes, I've got to offer a sacrifice. Then he took down the way the first man did. But he didn't have that sincerity to it. And when he did, Jehovah said, the thing has become a stink in my nose. He raised up a great man on the scene, Isaiah the prophet, who cried out and said, your sacrifices, your solemn feast is a stink before me. Be careful, Pentecost. Your sacrifices and rejoicing will become a stink in the nostrils of Jehovah if it isn't entered with deepness of sincerity. But we must come deadly sincere. Not just laughing and rejoicing and rallying around. We've got to come deeply and sincerely to the word of promise. There, take hold of the altar. Stay there until something happens. Till we thoroughly die out. Till you're making an investment in the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. Then you're on, no matter how fundamentally, we can be fundamental, yet you've got to come under sincerity. Mm-hmm. Now this young Jew is just as sincere as he could be in what he was doing, but when the time comes to change his creed, then that's where the trouble comes. I wonder if the same God isn't just able today to rise a second Isaiah, rise up to somebody and can tell us that our solemn feast become a stink. We should be ready for the rapture at this time of the age. Look where we're at. There's something needed, and that's back to the word. We're promised over in Malachi that we would be brought back to the word, the original faith, and so let's remember that. I'm going to ask you, what is your rock? What's the thing that's keeping you away from your sincerity before the Lord? And I'm here to tell you, I plead with you, we need to be more sincere. We need to be sincere in the Lord. We need to be sincere when we're listening to the tapes. We need to be sincere when we're reading our Bible. We need to be sincere this morning. Because I'm telling you what, that's how you're going to get it. Is when you are sincere before the Lord. Ask musicians to come if you don't mind. Something soft, Brother Tim. The devil will put a rock in your way, and he'll hold that rock there. And year after year, you'll go around that rock. And you'll know it's there. I'm telling you, when I speak these words, if it's burning in your heart right now, you know it's there. And you've got a choice this morning. You can go around that rock again. And you can keep going. And you can have the appearance of worship. You can have the appearance of a Christian. You can have the appearance of these things. But I'm talking about man talk this morning. A man faith this morning. A kachui kind of faith. We're not talking about a little bitty faith that the first little trial you quit. But I'm talking about a faith that no matter what comes at you, you're going to be like that bulldozer. That you can keep moving forward.
Amen.
even though the fashions of the world are pulling you this way, this is going in this way, Hollywood's going in this way, rock and roll's going this way, you've got all the temptations going this way, you've got everything going this way, you've got all kinds of temptations, billboards, radio, music, everything you can imagine, every filthy thing, we're in absolute Satan's Eden right now, pushing in every direction, trying to push you in the midst of a battle. In the midst of this battlefield, you've got guns going off. You've got smoke going everywhere. You've got smoke in your eyes. You're burning. And it seems like everything that could go wrong is going wrong. In the midst of this, you need a bulldoze faith where I know who I am. I know where I'm standing. I know where I'm going. And this rock is not going to hinder me anymore. I will be free this morning. And I'm here to tell you the chain breaking God is here this morning. And he wants to set you free, but you've got to receive it. The gas pump, we are here this morning. He said, you need that oil. You need the fuel to get out of here. He's here this morning. And you can have it. It's for you. There's a seat on the other side that's your seat. But you've got to go through this to get there. You've got to face this rock. You've got to face this thing that you've been battling, that you've been putting off. You got to say, I'm not passing it by this time. I want free from this thing. I want victory this morning. I'm going to ask every head to be bowed, please, in sincerity before God this morning. There's an altar here this morning. And if you feel that pull in your heart, why don't you get up right now and say, Brother Daniel, I'm going to that altar this morning. I'm getting free this morning. You don't worry about what other people are doing. You don't worry about what other people think. I'm here to tell you, rapture morning, you ain't going to be worried about nobody. The only thing you're going to do is look back and say, I had the opportunity and I turned it down. There's a rock that's in your way this morning and you can have victory over it, but this is the way. This is how you do it. You want victory in your life? This is how you do it. Through the blood. It's when you repent to God and say, God, I need victory. God, I need help. You got to be willing to lay your pride down. You got to be willing to lay yourself down. You got to be willing to lay your idols down. You got to be willing to leave everything of yourself. Lay it down. And you got to be willing to die and say, God, I want to die to myself. I don't want to be this stinky person that I am. God, I want that life on the inside. And oh God, just as sure as you spoke to the blade of grass and you pushed that blade of grass around that concrete this morning, I ask you, God, that you would touch your children, oh God, and help them to push around this old concrete, past this Laodicea spirit, past all the darkness, past all the Hollywood, past all these things, and become of who you said they are. The altar is open. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, I ask you, Lord, you touch this boy this morning, Lord. Oh God, may he face this rock head on this morning, Lord God. I ask you, Jesus, you'll touch him, Lord, and set him free, Lord God. Oh God, may he be able to repent from those things, Lord. This rock, may he stay right here until that rock is out of the way, oh God. Lord, I ask that the chain-breaking God, Lord, would you come and fill him with your spirit, Lord Jesus. Oh God, would you search every door of his heart. Lord, go through every closet, oh God. He's not looking at the things that's done right. He's looking at the things that's been done wrong this morning. And Lord, he wants to lay it down this morning, oh God. Lord Jesus, I ask you to touch this sister in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Oh Lord, as she lays before your feet this morning, Lord, I ask that your mercy would be here, Lord. We stand at the pump this morning and say, God, I need help. Lord, I need that Holy Ghost. I need that oil to get out of here, Lord. My car can't go anywhere. I need to go, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I ask you to touch this sister in the name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Lord, search every door, Lord. Go through every closet, oh God. Lord, if there's spiders hiding there, may every spider be killed this morning, Lord Jesus. Oh God, I ask you, let them be refilled with your spirit. We humbly come before you, Lord, this morning. And we acknowledge we need your help. I need that Holy Ghost this morning, Lord. I need you, Lord Jesus, to change me, Lord. Oh, God, may you let them die to their self, oh, God. Lord Jesus, everything of this world, God, may it just be a solemn, absolute death this morning of that old man, Lord God. And, Lord, may your life come forth, oh, God. I ask that, Jesus, that you would come, Lord. Lord Jesus, give them the faith to believe this morning. Your word, Lord. Oh, God. darkest age of all time, Lord God. And the devil makes you want to feel like it's impossible. But Lord, you said that with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And Lord, we're looking to the God of the impossible this morning and asking that you'll bring a Holy Ghost revival into their hearts, oh God. Lord Jesus, a fire inside of them, Lord, would be full of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus, changing the very own nature that they were, Lord, into the nature you want them to be. Lord God, may they begin to present the image that you want them to be, Lord. We lay the popularity down, Lord. We lay the Hollywood down, oh God. We lay the old men down this morning and say, oh, Heavenly Father, I'm here. I need help. Oh God, I ask you, Jesus, would you fill up with your spirit this morning? In Jesus' name, Lord, touch them with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, we humbly bow before you this morning and ask you, Father, come. Let there be a liberty this morning in this house, oh God. Lord, as we face the rock head on this morning, Lord Jesus, we don't want no rocks hindering us anymore, Lord. Lord God, may this day forth, Lord, we put our stake in the ground and say, I'm staying right here until it's moved out of the way. I'm staying right here until I feel that I have thoroughly prayed through and I have thoroughly seen the death of this old man, God. Oh, God, I'm here to worship you this morning, Lord. I ask you to search their heart this morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring your fire of your Holy Ghost, Lord. Oh, God, may they lay everything down that's unlike you, Lord. May you send the Holy Ghost revival this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, touch it with your spirit, Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. Help us, Lord Jesus. We bow before you, Lord. Lord, would you walk the aisle, Lord, maybe in the building, Lord. Let it walk forward, Lord. Lord, let them not let this past service pass, God. Lord, let them not let this opportunity pass. Because we know that you're here, Lord. You told me yesterday, Lord, you were going to move in a mighty way, Lord. Lord God, and I'm so thankful for it. Oh, God, I ask you, Jesus, touch each heart. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
I need you now, your spirit.
call to the Lord this morning. And I'm telling you what, you pray till you pray through. You pray till you feel good in your heart. You feel at peace in your heart. We're putting the stake in the sand this morning. And you're saying, you know what? Today, it happened. Amen.
My Jesus.
There is none like you.
This is what gives you that bulldoze faith. It's when you come on it and you hit it head on with the word and say, Lord, I want this. It's this right here, friends. It's not just having this. It's not just having the word. It's having the word in its place. We want it in our heart in the right place because it will give you a bulldoze faith. It doesn't mean trials won't come. It don't mean problems won't come. It means when they come, you will keep moving forward. Amen. No matter what comes at us. We're just going to pray one more time. Father, I come to you this morning, this evening, Father. Completely lost where I'm at, Lord, as I've been in another presence this morning, another place, Lord. And I just love this presence, Lord. I love being in your midst. I love your people. I love your word, Lord. Thank you for these souls that you've given this morning, Lord, that surrendered their hearts and said, Lord, I accept that provided way this morning. I accept that oil this morning. I accept deliverance this morning. I accept victory this morning. I receive it. I receive the joy. I receive the deliverance. I receive the Holy Ghost. Father, thank you for it this morning. I ask you that you will continue to burn into the hearts of your people this morning, Lord God. Lord Father, would you help us to become more and more and more sincere before you, Lord, as the days come. Lord, that we will reverence your presence, Lord. Lord God, that when we listen to a tape, when we listen to a message, when we read our Bibles, Lord, help us to do it with sincerity and acknowledging it is the Word of God. We need you, Lord. We acknowledge that we need you, Lord. Thank you for this service today. Speak to every heart, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name.